are listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast with your host, Sutta Singh. Each week, we will bring you a diverse range of inspiring speakers on issues of inequality and inequity. You will hear stories about fairness, justice, belonging, and about best practice for creating a more inclusive workplace. So, if you are an individual or leader interested in a fairer, equitable, compassionate society and workplace, this podcast is for you.
My guest on this episode of the Elephant in the Room podcast is Nikki Merrick, owner of a small business, Pink Giraffe, podcast host, speaker, and a passionate accessibility advocate, creating awareness about how small businesses can be disability inclusive. Welcome, Nikki, to the Elephant in the Room podcast. Thank you for being a guest today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
To start with, tell the listeners something about yourself, your background.
My background is probably a little bit outside of mainstream. We now know that I have multiple sclerosis, but I've actually been ill since I was about 13, but we didn't know, and I wasn't diagnosed till I was 30. So I never actually finished school. I was too ill. I never sat an exam. I didn't do any of that. I never even attended school in the final year. I don't think I did a full week of school since being 12. So I had no formal entry requirements when it came to trying to get a job or applying for university or anything like that. But it didn't hold me back. I still went on and I had success, had some great jobs, jobs that I enjoyed and that I did well in. And after traveling in Australia for a year, a lot of people was like, so you're going to settle down now, Nikki? Are you going to, you know, just buy a place to live? Mm-hmm. And I panicked and I thought, gosh, what am I going to do? I need to buy myself some more time. I was 25 and I thought, I know, I'll go to university. That will buy me 3 more years where I can be independent and free and not have to worry about grown-up stuff. And so I applied to University College Chester. And they accepted my application based on merit and an application letter, which was amazing because, you know, I didn't have any formal entry qualifications. But being a mature student, I think they were able to just take me on merit. And I did a degree in journalism, which was amazing. And I learned so much, even though I didn't want to be a journalist, I still learned a lot that I've been able to use, particularly in my business life. And in my final year, I was in the middle of my dissertation when I met my husband, who already had 3 children. My plan to have 3 years of independence and freedom resulted in me having 3 stepkids by the time I graduated, which, you know, was obviously not part of the plan, but I would not change it for the world. I absolutely love my family.
Life and well-made plans.
Yes.
What is the story behind Pink Giraffe? How did you come to set it up?
Well, after graduating, I took a job with a travel company, but with meeting my husband, I then moved in with him and the traveling between Chester, where I lived, my partner was living in Merseyside, my job was in Manchester. It was all a bit too much. So I changed jobs to somewhere more local to where I was living when I moved in with my now husband. I worked at a bank and it wasn't very exciting and it didn't fulfill me. It was just an obvious step to take because it was pretty well paid and it was local. I was on the graduate scheme. It was nearby. But they needed to get rid of some staff and they let me go, sort of last one in, first one out kind of policy. And I was left a bit, oh, what do I do now? And Chunky, who's now my husband, he was self-employed working in the music industry. And he said, well, you know, why don't you start a business? There's so many things that you could do. So I did a bit of marketing, which I'd obviously learned as part of my university degree. And I set up a photography company called Pink Giraffe Photography. And the name, I don't have a clear idea about where the name came from. I often get asked. But I set up the photography company based in a summer house in the garden of the bungalow we were living in. And on the little veranda at the front was this giant, it was about 6-foot straw giraffe that I got from a car boot sale for £2. And I'd sprayed in pink one day. And I think that's where the name Pink Giraffe came from. I used to travel around the UK photographing anything unusual, anything outside of mainstream. So I did a pagan wedding, I did a fairy festival, biker rallies, tattoo conventions, anything that was classed as a little bit alternative, that was my thing.
Absolutely fascinating. I understand that you found out that you were pregnant, and within 24 hours of that, you were also told that you had MS. This is staggering. How did you deal with that?
To be honest, I don't have a clear answer to how I dealt with it. I think you just have to pick up and carry on when life deals you these things. I kind of felt at the time like it was two very life-changing situations to be in. To find out you're pregnant is like your whole world's about to change. And to find out that it was a possibility of MS, it wasn't confirmed until after I'd had my little boy. But to be faced with those two things that could potentially totally uproot your life, turn it upside down and just change everything that you did on a day in, day out basis. And if you're going to have two life-changing events, why not have them at the same time? Because effectively, your life only changes once instead of twice. So for me, having them happen together was easier. If I'd have had a baby and then got MS 2 years later, that would have been far worse for me.
But, you know, in terms of the emotions that you need to actually deal with, what changes have you made to your life to accommodate the challenges that come with MS?
I think the changes you have to make for any disability can be determined primarily by the type of disability that you have. So if you are someone who has, say, an accident and become paralyzed, that is an instant radical change to your life. And you have to overnight suddenly rearrange everything, rethink everything, change your house, the adaptations to build so that you can live independently. Whereas with myself, with a diagnosis of MS, which we now know I've had since I was 13, this is a gradual thing. This is not waking up the next day and needing a wheelchair. This is having time to think about it. This is being able to put things in place that make it easier to cope. So one day I thought, right, I might actually need a bit of help walking. So I got a rollator. And that would enable me to steady myself walking and take a little seat if I needed a rest. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that I needed a wheelchair. And then we got the wheelchair. But it was very important for me. I was scared of getting in it because I thought once I got in the wheelchair, I would never get out again. And I've been in a wheelchair for about 10 years now, but I still walk about as much as I'm physically able to. And that may be very little, but those little steps are important to me in my mindset and my ability to live independently. I still need to hold on to that little ability that I have. So the adaptations we needed for the house took several years to put into place. I have level access throughout the front door and the back door. I have a wheelchair lift that takes me from the study here right up into my bedroom. So I can stay in my wheelchair and get everywhere in the house now. I have a fully adapted wet room as an ensuite to the bedroom, which means if I am bed bound, I can still manage and get to and from my wheelchair between the bathroom and the bedroom. So having those things in place over several years is much easier to deal with.
I think that's a remarkably positive attitude. And I think that's what helps, I guess. How easy or difficult has it been being a small business owner? Are there any lessons that you would like to share?
I think I did learn some lessons early on. I started my business in 2007, and there wasn't the access to online communities that we have now. So the only other small business owners that I met were at local networking events, which tended to be groups of middle-aged men who were either trying to be entrepreneurs or a plumber, a locksmith, an electrician. And at the time, I was making fairy dolls as part of my business. So I would turn up at these networking events where there'd be all these men in suits and there'd be women really dressed trying to sort of compete with the men. And I was there in like a tutu carrying a fairy doll. And I did not fit in. Whereas now in the online world, there's space for everybody. And there are so many different ways to access help and support for businesses. But I think what I learned early on is not to take it personally. And I think this is a good lesson for life in general. I had one incident with a supplier. They designed and made business cards and they made an error. They made a mistake. There was a capital letter missing. It was in the wrong place. It wasn't quite right. And I took all my courage to go. And I was in my late 20s at this point. And I went to see him and I had to tell him that I wasn't happy. And it was so hard. And he really made me feel like it was all my fault, which it totally wasn't. And now I think, gosh, I could have given him what for. But at the time, I was so unsure of myself that I went back to my car, sort of with my tail between my legs, thinking, oh gosh, you know, I should have done this differently. I should have said something earlier. I shouldn't have allowed this to happen. And I cried. I sat in my car and cried. And then I sat there and I thought, oh, Nikki, do not let yourself do this. Do not let this be the beginning of your business. I was about 2 weeks into my new business, and I was not going to let that be the way my business was defined. And I'm happy to say no one has ever made me cry since. I'm much stronger in business now. But I think you have to go through these little experiences to build a thicker skin and to get the confidence so that you can carry out your business without being personally upset and affected in the way that I was at that time.
Yeah, and also have the ability to speak up when you think it's not your mistake.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what has been the impact of the pandemic on your business?
So I'm in a bit of an unusual situation in that I kind of got a 6-month advance on turning my business into a digital business. I had been making dance costumes for the last sort of 3 or 4 years, primarily making dance costumes for competitive pole dancers. That was what I specialized in. And I loved it. I still love it. I absolutely love creating costumes and seeing people on stage and seeing their face light up when they see the magic of the crystals and sparkling and twinkling under the lights. That is totally my thing. But physically, it was getting too hard. I was really struggling to get them finished on time, and I would never let a customer down. I've driven costumes to the other side of the country to deliver them to people. I have driven to a competition where someone was competing to let her try on her costume for another competition. Wow. Because we couldn't get together. I do not ever want to let people down, because these girls put so much into their competition and everything goes towards that big day, and the music is selected, the costume is chosen, and they all have to come together. So if I didn't get that costume finished in time for their competition date, I would be really letting them down. And what happened about 4 years ago was I was finishing a costume for a girl, and we were due to go away camping for a few days. And I said to my husband, I'm going to get this finished tonight. I've got a few weeks before she competes, but I want to get it done before we go away, so I'm not thinking about it. Also, where we were planning on going camping was not too far from where she lived. And I said, I'll go drop it off to her on the way. So we did that, and I dropped off the costume. While we were camping, I went blind in one eye. It's a condition called optic neuritis, and it happens when you have MS. It can happen. Not everybody with MS will get optic neuritis. And I ended up in A&E and in hospital for a while. It took 3, 4, maybe 5 months for my eyesight to fully recover in that eye. Had I not taken that costume to that customer the day that I did, if I had just left it until I got back from the camping trip, I would have ruined her competition. And I don't think I'd have forgiven myself for that. And that gave me a big wake-up call that perhaps my disability and my illness has got to the point where I have to make some big decisions about my business. So I decided, because I love the industry, I wanted to stay in that industry. So I decided to stop making the costumes, but to set about helping other costume makers with their business. So often, someone who makes costumes has generally come into that business because they either make for their children or themselves or people they know, and someone else sees what they've done and goes, oh, wow, that's ace. Could you do that for me? And that's how they come into it. Effectively, they're turning their hobby into a business. And so I wanted to help those people with the business side of it. I've been in business for much longer than I have been a costume maker. I've had lots of different businesses, from running a nightclub, photography company, to running a cleaning business. I've done a lot of different businesses over the years. And I felt I could really help people with that aspect of their business and help them step up into being more professional rather than a hobbyist that just gets paid. And so before COVID happened, my business had gone through this change of being a digital business. So all of a sudden, everyone else was going, oh, we have to just work online now. And I'm like, yeah, I've had 6 months practice at this. Come on, bring it on. Which was great for me. But unfortunately, my clients were all dance costume makers at the time, and all the competitions, all the shows, they were all cancelled, and not all of them have come back yet. So it affected my clients. So I set about working out how I could help them through COVID. My job stayed the same, but I had to change what I was putting out to my audience because their jobs were changing and their ability to work the way they were working was changing. And I did notice a lot of businesses just took up the challenge and went for it, and they put in changes. They started making practice wear, and they started looking at different ways they could help their customers. And some of them just sat back and went, oh, well, I'm just not going to do anything then. And I know which businesses are still trading now and which ones have struggled to get back into the flow. I wrote my first ebook in the first month or two of COVID lockdown. And that was just 10 things you can do in your sewing business right now. I wanted to give my clients and audience 10 really easy to implement things that they could do that didn't directly relate to processing a customer's order. Yeah. So I launched my ebook and that went out there, and that's how I started helping people in the first lockdown.
Amazing. I think the lesson from there is adaptability, the ability to adapt to your circumstances and the environment and the market requirement. And you have shown enormous ability to adapt. And I think that is what is required for businesses to survive and thrive. But what about your personal life, Nikki? How has that been impacted by COVID-19? Or has there been any impact because of it, you know, with kids homeschooling? Is it different for you?
It's pretty much identical, bar one thing. So our son is almost 12 now, and he's never been in school. We have always home educated as a choice for his education. So the homeschool thing didn't really come into it. So we just carried on. I'm pretty sure he didn't even notice there was a lockdown to begin with, because he was quite into gaming and he was on his computer with his friends. And a lot of his friends are around the country and around the world because they're other home educated children. So they didn't really notice what was happening with the school system because they're just not aware of it. I was working from home anyway, so that didn't change for me. The one big change we had is that my husband, who was working in the music industry, all the events finished. Before lockdown started, all his events were cancelled. And he primarily works in the live music industry, outside broadcast, live events and auditorium type events, you know, like at Doncaster Dome, for example, is one place where he worked. And so that all finished. Fortunately for us, he has his HGV license and was able to take a new job, being an employee for the first time in years. And he is now a truck driver, and he still does that full time, but he works away Monday to Friday. So he lives in his cab. He's what they call a tramper, which is a lovely term, isn't it, for someone who sleeps in their truck Monday to Friday. That was a big change for me personally, because he's also my primary carer. I'm very fortunate to have a PA carer who's also one of my best friends now, and she is incredible, and she comes and helps me throughout the week. But Chunky is always here because he worked from home. Other than when he was on a gig, he would do a lot for me around the house. And I think had our son been a lot younger, I don't think I could have done it. But with him being older now, he's amazing. And he really steps it up when his dad's away. He does what needs to be done. On a weekend, he's like a regular 11, 12 year old. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'll do it later. One sec, do it in a minute. But in the week, I ask him, can you do this, Dad? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he does it. My husband doesn't believe me that he's like that in the week. He is.
How incredible. But this is heartening to hear how all of you are adapting and moving forward to deal with the change. And everybody has had to make changes, but more so in a household where your husband was your primary care and now he's, you know, had to take up another employment. But I'm glad to hear that you have someone with you who is your best friend and your carer, and your son is, as you said, has stepped up. Incredible. I mean, you can't expect kids not to be kids on the weekend. So
absolutely. That's his downtime.
Yeah. Are you able to access support from the government? You've spoken already about the impact on your business. So has there been any government support forthcoming for smaller businesses?
So there has been the income support scheme for self-employed people, and I was able to access that. But with the changes that happened in my business, with reducing the costume making and then bringing in the new business, my income had dipped in the prior years. And so it hasn't been an amazing amount of support. But that's kind of part of what I was experiencing anyway. I knew that I would have a dip in the income with switching to the way I was working. I would have to build up a whole new audience of different people that I was selling to. So I kind of just accepted that for what it is. And I think when you're self-employed, you're kind of used to just being able to deal with your own issues. I think it's very different if you have a premises. And I know that small business owners that actually have a premises where people go to, like a hairdresser's or a cafe and a pub or that kind of business, I think the support has been invaluable for them because there are a lot of ongoing costs that they will still had to pay for. Whereas for me, I didn't have a lot of those outgoings, so I wasn't affected as much and feel extremely privileged to be in that situation.
Is there something that you'd ask the government to actually do for people who are not on premises or who don't have that because they still have other costs and other expenses that still are ongoing?
Yeah, it is hard, isn't it? It is hard. And I think businesses are so varied these days. There are so many different ways you can be a small business owner that one rule and one decision by the government was never going to suit everybody.
Yeah.
It was never going to be the perfect fit. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try, but I think there's been a definite split with people. I've seen people that are very prepared to be proactive and make things work for them. And I've seen people that have just not really wanted to try. And I think attitude plays a big part in this. I would love to just say it's all the government's fault and that they should have helped people better, but I really don't know how they could have done that that would have helped everybody in every situation. I really don't have the answers to that.
Do you consider yourself to be a role model, Nikki? And who are your role models?
Oh, gosh, I've never considered myself a role model. No, I don't consider myself that way. I would love it if people could be inspired by my story to go on and make changes in their own life or in ways they deal with changes that happen upon them that aren't necessarily by choice. I'm always cautious of inspiration porn, as they call it. I really don't like that when people are, they look at you as a disabled person and say, oh, well, if you can do it, surely I can. And it's like, no, that's not the point here. The point is I am doing this and you can be inspired by that. But don't add that little disclaimer, oh, you're doing well for a disabled person. It's like, yeah. I'm doing well for a person as me, complete me. There's no as a disabled person about it. And using disabled people as a source of inspiration for other people to say, oh, well, my life can't possibly be as bad as theirs. I don't like that. I really don't like that. And I do tell people when they do this, I try not to be rude about it because I think people just need to be educated. Unless you've thought about it, you wouldn't really know. But yeah, my disability is not there for other people's inspiration. My achievements are, my ambitions are, my life and the way I live it is what I would like people to be inspired by, not just the fact that I did it because I'm a disabled person. And my life's actually pretty amazing. I hate pity, and people pity you all the time when you're in a wheelchair, especially when you have a son. When he was little and you're out and about with a toddler and you're in a wheelchair and you can just see them looking at you and the pity's pouring out. And I'm like, don't you dare pity me. My life is amazing. I bet my life's better than yours. Don't give me your pity. So yeah, I don't see myself as a role model, but if my story can help people deal with whatever happens to them in their life in a better way, if it can help them overcome adversity and anything that may have uprooted their own life, then I'd like that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you around the education piece and around the understanding piece. Your disability is not what makes you. You are an intelligent, smart businesswoman. And it shows just in this entire conversation on how you have adapted and moved and changed in order to continue to do business and continue to succeed as a small business. What drives you every day, Nikki?
Do you know, this is a question. This is such a big question, isn't it? I think what drives me the most is just the fact that I love life, the sheer love of life and the opportunities we have. I am in a very privileged situation, living in a country where we have a lot of freedom, but I have the choice every day that I can get up and go out and do basically what I want in the world. I can make my dreams happen. I can choose to live my life the way I want to. We are not restricted that much in the UK. There are areas where it's awful and things are very wrong. I'm not trying to say that everyone in the UK has got this glorious life because it isn't like that. That's not reality. But I have that situation and I'm very aware of my privilege as someone in that situation where I can choose each day how I want to live my life. And I wake up and I'm like, yay, what's happening today? I've got an amazing son. I've got a wonderful husband who I miss every week like a teenager. And I wait for Friday to come when he comes home. I've got three beautiful stepchildren who are all adults now and living their own life. How could I not wake up and be passionate about living my life? I've got my own business where I choose what I do. I don't have to go and do what someone else tells me to do. And yeah, that's just exciting. And it gets to 4 o'clock, which is around the time I finish. And I'm like, yay, I've done another day's work. I'm going to go and sit and I'm going to watch something on Netflix, or I'm going to have something nice to eat. And then I'm like, yay, I'm excited because it's bedtime. And I love going to bed because that's when I can read my book. That's my reading time. And it's also when I have an hour with our son, Zed, where we talk about everything. Between sort of 10 and 11 at night, we just sit on the bed and talk about everything that's happened. He tells me things he's done, friends he's spoken to around the world, silly things he's seen on TikTok. And I love that time with him. And then I'm asleep and then I wake up the next day and it's like, yay, another day. And I just find it very hard not to be really happy about that.
That's incredible. That's so incredible. I think it's to do with the attitude, and it's really inspiring to see how much you love your life. That's the incredible part. So thank you very much, Nikki. This has been such a wonderful conversation, fun conversation, and also to take a lot of lessons on actually how to run your business. And I think this thing that we constantly talk to businesses about adaptability, and I heard it in every single thing when you spoke about your business and how you've been adapting, how you've changed, and you've been sort of ahead of the curve every time. So thank you for sharing your experiences. Thank you very much for being here today.
No, thank you for having me on. It's been really interesting to talk to you about this and listening to your podcast from other people and seeing their perspectives. I've really enjoyed that. I must add one thing though. I think what has happened to me with regards to my illness and disability has had a direct impact on my ability to view life the way that I do. And that was because when I was 13, I woke up paralyzed. I was more or less couldn't move from the neck down and in hospital for a couple of weeks. And that happened periodically about 11 times while I was a teenager. And it's only when you've gone through something like that of thinking, is this the end of my life? I'm 13. I can't move. I can't walk. I can't feed myself. Is this it? And when you get through it and you're given another chance and told, well, no, that's not it. You can still do the things. You can't help but have that lust for life. You can't help but want to take life and do all the things because you know what it's like to potentially have that taken away from you. And a lot of people I know who get diagnosed with MS later in life, or they start experiencing symptoms later in life, they struggle because I hear them say, I haven't done what I want to do yet. I haven't done this. I wanted to do that. I'm only 30 and I still haven't done the things. And whereas I think I've done all the things that I wanted to do because I took every opportunity. If it came in front of me, I did it because I knew what it was like to potentially not be able to. And I just think that has a big impact on being able to keep up the positivity and for it to come naturally. It's not a forced thing. I don't think you could force positivity if you don't feel it. So I didn't want to take the credit for it. It's more just a case of what happened to me.
No, I think you should take some credit for it. I just love your attitude. And I'm going to take learning back on attitude. Such positivity, you can feed off that positivity. And actually, it helps other people also be so positive. So thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Elephant in the Room podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on any of your favorite platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And if you enjoyed listening to the podcast today, don't forget to write a review and tell your friends. Sign up on the link in the show notes to receive updates on our guest speakers, blogs, and events. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday for new episodes.